Rhonda and Eric for that very special time of worship. And I want to say thank you also to Pastor Larry for leading the service the last couple of weeks. His two-part series on Israel was amazing. So relevant, so biblically applicable to our lives. And my wife said to me, she said, you know, when Pastor Larry was making that presentation, it wasn't just kind of a recounting of his vacation away. It was speaking about the glories of the Holy Land and connecting biblical history with the geography and the topography and the people and the places and biblical incidents that happened in particular locales. And so it was amazing. And then you brought it all back to this biblical application. This is what God is doing in our life. And we can know the power of His Spirit right here, right now, right where we're planted. We don't have to go to the Holy Land, as wonderful as that would be. And perhaps some of us one day will be there. So thank you again for the last 2 weeks of ministry. It was very wonderful and special for each of us. I also want to thank you as a congregation for your prayers for us as a family. As you know, I've had a wounded wing, and it is getting better day by day. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you also for praying for Cole. Cole had a very serious condition. He's still dealing with it, and your prayers helped him turn the corner. Dixie is home looking after Cole right now, and they're thinking of us and praying for us as we gather together for worship. Why don't you join me in prayer, and we'll continue to look to the Lord as we worship Him together. Father, thank you for this special, special group of people. Thank you that we are called as one family, that we are bound together by your Holy Spirit, that we are placed in a position of divine favor because of our common salvation. The scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Lord, it's that faith that we celebrate through Christ today. We are gathered together as your people for the specific purpose of worshiping you. And blessed Holy Spirit, would you fill us so that we can worship you more effectively? And even as we listen to your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit will take the bits and pieces that I bring and somehow turn it into a cohesive whole that will change the hearts of those people who hear. This is a special moment as we gather together before you, first to worship you, and because your presence is here, and we have experienced that in our worship this morning, and we experience as we share love and gratitude with one another. So, Father, please fill this place with your holy presence that Christ might be glorified, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about the forgotten password. Passwords, passwords, they have become the bane of our existence, have they not? How many of you like having 1,500 passwords? You have passwords. How many passwords do you have? You have one password, and I bet it's the word password. So if you find Eric's password, you can go onto his online banking, you can empty his bank account, and so all we got to do is just ply him to find out what that password is. But everything has passwords today, doesn't it? Everything. Your computer has a password, your cell phone has a password, all of social media, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Even your Netflix account has a password. Online banking has passwords. And isn't it frustrating when you forget your password? It's so frustrating. And so then you have this little icon that comes up. I wonder if I could get the prompter up as well, please. This television is off. It would help me so I'm not looking back at the screens. So I want to see what you see. So this little icon comes up and it says, forgot password. And then you have to click on a brightly colored icon, and what it does is it will allow you to reset your password. Now we have some people who are very technologically gifted in our congregation. And I'm not going to mention their names because all of you will be calling him. If you're a Luddite, which is a term for somebody who's not good at anything technical, that would be me. And I won't mention your name, Gary and Marlene, because I don't want people calling you. These people know everything about computers. Unfortunately, I know very little. And it's frustrating for me to constantly resend for those passwords. But imagine, you could have the most powerful computer, but if you don't know the password, you can't access that computer. You could have $1 million in your bank account, but if you don't know the password, you can't access that resource. You see, a password is very important in terms of accessing the resources that are at our disposal. That's why the password is so important. Did you know that there's even a password for God? In fact, over in Psalm 100, verse 4, God revealed his password to David. And David wrote these words, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Bless his holy name. Give thanks to the Lord." The psalmist also wrote in Psalm 102, it's a clinical description of depression and discouragement. And he goes through that cathartic moment and he pours out his heart before God. In very concise terms, he paints the darkness of his discouragement and his depression. But then something happens between Psalm 102 and Psalm 103. Psalm 103, his attitude changes. Instead of seeing the glass half empty, he now realizes the glass is more than half full. And he begins Psalm 103 by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name and all that is within me." And he begins to recount all the blessings of God in that wonderful psalm. Something changed. What he was doing was offering a sacrifice of praise with a voice of thanksgiving. Isn't it true that we fall victim to the negativity, the discouragements, all of the disappointments, the physical ailments, the lack of popularity, the lack of success? We just feel like we don't have enough talent, enough friends, and enough resources. And so we become overwhelmed with a critical, negative spirit. It's just never enough for us. When I was in Sunday school after I was first saved, we used to sing a little song, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and It Will Surprise You What the Lord Has Done." So today I want to talk to you about the password, the forgotten password. What's that password? It's thanksgiving. And we don't have to wait to Thanksgiving to have a sermon on Thanksgiving. And I think Father's Day is a great day for us to talk about Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful for our fathers. You say, "Well, I didn't have a perfect father." And Bill was mentioning about the fact that his dad died when he was 23. But he did recount a story, if you remember, about how his father would take the time to help him complete his paper route. Even taught him a very unique way to collect on paper fees that were in arrears. Throw the paper hard enough at the aluminum door and the guy will get the point. It was effective. But he had a father. Unfortunately, that time with his father was cut short. Well, let's talk about that password this morning. The first thing I want you to know about the password, it's gratitude. Thanksgiving is gratitude, and it is a choice. Gratitude or thanksgiving is a choice. It's not a fuzzy, warm, sentimental kind of feeling. I remember getting up on Monday mornings and it's dark, and it's cold, and it's rainy, and I don't feel like thanking God. You see, it's not a feeling. It's a choice. And so it's in those moments that I have to kickstart that whole process of implementing the password, of beginning to discipline myself to thank God, just like the psalmist did in Psalm 103 when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name." You see, the source of our thanksgiving, the source of our praise, the source of our adoration is God. It's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit. And so we focus on the goodness of God. You know, the scripture says that his compassions never fail. His mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, says the prophet. Do we have a lot to thank God for? Absolutely. Because the sum total of who God is knows no end. There are no boundaries. And did you know that our problems, our discouragement, can be like a quarter? If you hold a quarter up to your eye, you can literally block out the sun. That's the way it is with negativity. And if you remember that favorite quote of mine, if you remember it, you can say it along with me. Man needs a checkup from the neck up to eliminate stinking thinking and prevent hardening of the attitudes. Like the man who was so negative, when he died, they put on his tombstone, "I told you I was sick." Now, there's a negative attitude for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, does that mean we're masochistic? That we enjoy pain and we enjoy suffering? When my arm was hurting and they had to reposition a nerve, and they gave me all these opioids and drugs and said, "Here, son, take these. They'll make you feel better." All they did was make me feel whacked out and goofy, and I really don't think they subdued the pain to any great degree. And I was glad to get off them in a hurry because they didn't make me feel better. They made me feel worse. But I was thankful in the midst of that pain. Because I said, "God, what you're doing right now is you're sensitizing me to the pain that others go through. And if you can equip me through this pain to be more empathetic with the heartache and the suffering of others, then I am thankful that you can equip me in a greater way to minister to the needs of those who are hurting." And when my hand was on fire from that nerve pain, I thought of our dear sister Virginia, who's had nerve pain, and how relentless that pain has been, how she's struggled, and how she's not been able to find relief. I thought, now I get it. Now I understand, at least in part, how hard that is. You know, the scripture says that we can actually comfort others with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted. Isn't that wonderful? God never wastes a painful moment. He never discards a difficult experience. When we trust Him with it, He equips us for greater works of ministry, a greater compassion, a greater Christ-likeness. Isn't God wonderful? How He causes all things to work together for good for those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. That isn't just a snappy little biblical mantra. It's the truth. And it doesn't minimize our pain when we say all things work together for good, because the good that's being talked about is not a Disneyland fairy type of good. The good that's being talked about is the transformation of our lives into the likeness of Christ. He makes us more like Jesus through our suffering, through our difficulties. So what trial are you going through? How discouraged are you? Are you lonely? Are you dealing with physical ailment? Is there financial issues that are troubling you? Where are you struggling? Feeling overwhelmed by the workload? Perhaps a lack of direction in your life? Maybe it's friendships. A friendship has gone south and you're wondering, what happened to that friendship? Or why aren't I more popular? Why don't people like me? those thoughts can resonate in all of our hearts. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember this verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't mean that we thank Him for all the trouble and the pain. We thank Him that He is in the trouble and the pain. And that through that pain, if we will submit that to Him, bring it to the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, You suffered pain. If I'm going through pain, then let me identify with You. Paul talked about being co-crucified with Christ. If you're in pain today, look at Christ on the cross. Look at Christ on the cross. Take a good look at Christ on the cross. Begin to identify with His pain, because He has suffered your pain to the nth degree and more. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What that tells me is this. It's a very important point. When we thank God in every circumstance, what we're saying is, I trust You, my God, my Father, blessed Christ, abiding Holy Spirit, I trust You. I trust in Your wisdom. I trust in Your sovereignty. I trust in Your power, and I trust in Your loving kindness. I trust You. See, that's how it works. When we thank Him in those difficult circumstances, because we know that He's bigger than the circumstances. We have a plaque on our wall, and when all you new attenders, the people been here for a year and a half, if you feel like a new attender and you really haven't had a chance to get to know people, you might have been here 5 years. Why don't you come along too? July 7th, our place. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to have music with Rhonda. We're going to have a brief devotion with Larry. We're going to talk about the church. We'll talk about ministry issues. We'll talk about youth programs and other things that are of concern to you. We're looking forward to that fellowship. But here's the point, is that God is equipping you through your present circumstance. And when you give thanks, you're acknowledging His wonderful person, presence, power, and provision in your life. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does He reward us with? He rewards us with salvation. He rewards us with sanctification. I love that verse in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper and not to harm, plans to give you a future and a hope. Do you have that future and hope today? Everything looks bleak. Everything looks dark. You're in the valley. In fact, you're in a rut in the bottom of the valley. And there's a sinkhole under that rut. So it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. So you're low. But this is the plan that God has for you, a future and a hope. So that's what we preach and that's what we teach. That's why that password of thanksgiving is so essential. Everything has a password. God has a password that says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. And what the Lord is saying is, hey, come on in, stay a while, have something to eat, experience more of my presence and my power and my provision. Bathe in the glory of the Almighty. That's hospitality. That's the Father's hospitality. That's the love that He has for you and me. In Ephesians, it says that we are accepted in the Beloved. What does that mean? It means that God has totally accepted you and me because of our faith in Christ. Christ is the Beloved, and we're accepted in the Beloved. There is no more earning or trying to win God's favor. And when we screw up, or when we recognize areas in our life that are not right, we have a tendency to want to withdraw from God. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Just come and be in my presence. Recently, the Lord has been saying to me, Trav, just be still. Be still. Trav, hey, be still. Hey, let me get your attention. Trav, be still and know that I'm God. But Lord, I've got all these things to do, important things, places to go, people to see. He says, no, I just want you to be still and enjoy some of my divine hospitality. Let me refresh your soul. You see, we get so busy in trying to do good things and be involved in ministry and care for people and run around when God is saying, I just want you to be still and be present. I want to be present with you, and I want you to be present with me. So hard for us, isn't it? Just to be still and allow God to minister into our lives. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And I feel so energized and so refreshed in my spirit in spite of everything we've been going through as a family. It's like, God, I am ready. I am ready now because you have equipped me and you strengthened me. Bring on the next decade. Let's go for it. Dio volente. That's Latin for if God wills. God willing. Dio volente. God willing. Let's look forward to another decade of ministry together, but let's submit that to the Lord's will as he wills, because we expect his return any day, but let's plan for the future as we expect God in the present. So gratitude is a choice. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. If you wait till you feel different, you're never going to be grateful. Number two, gratitude requires cultivation. Cultivation. It's springtime, and we all love to be outside gardening, planting those spring flowers, those vegetables, watching new life sprout up from the fresh, dark soil. We love that. But then those weeds come along, and we got to pull out those weeds. And we got to hoe the plants. We got to make the garden grow. Well, God makes it grow. We just apply a little bit of help in the right places, right? Keep it watered. Dry season right now. But gratitude requires cultivation. It just doesn't happen, does it? Like, one of the things that we've taught our kids growing up, and I don't know, Holly, what it's like in your home. I'm sure that you go through all the same things as we do as a family. But we said, the very least that you can do is say, please and thank you. That's the password. We want you to remember that. And I watched my two boys, Cole and Caleb. They had practiced this so much that when Cole would be in the bathroom, he goes in there for a preponderance of time. We wonder, where has he gone? Has he gone on a trip to Israel? please come out. You've been in there 3 days. So, and then Caleb goes, come on, Cole. You've been in there for a long time. Bang, bang, bang. Is there fighting, especially when you have girls, right? Okay, we're finger pointing. They're pointing at each other. Teen girls will do that. So there's competition for bathroom time. And so then Cole says, I need to hear the password. I need to hear the password. So, come on, Cole, says Caleb. Let me in. That's not the password. Okay, I'll play your stupid game. Please, let me in. Cole will open the door a crack. What's the other password? Okay, thank you. But gratitude requires cultivation. Requires cultivation. How do we do that? How do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Number one is dwell on God's promises. Dwell on his promises. The scripture says, let this word dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with, guess what? Thanksgiving in your hearts unto the Lord. That password just pops up everywhere, doesn't it? Thanksgiving. Secondly, we're going to cultivate that attitude of thanksgiving. We need to be filled with God's Spirit. The scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, whereas dissipation, that's my impersonation of dissipation. That's really dissipated, right? Like the man who says, I don't have a drinking problem. I drink, I get drunk, I fall down, no problem. Dissipation. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does this say? Speaking to one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts unto the Lord. Oh man, you can't get away from that password. It keeps popping up everywhere. Are you a person who sees life as always half empty? Or do you see it as half full, greater than half full, flowing over? The scripture says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. See, God hasn't called his people to lack. He's called them to abundance. Christ said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's the abundance of his joy, his peace, his power, his purpose, his meaning. That's the abundant life. Are you living in lack or are you stepping into the greatness of what God has for you? The Father wants to give to you more than you even want to receive. Is that hard to imagine? That's the Father heart of God. It's wonderful to celebrate the Father heart of God on Father's Day. So dwell in God's promises. Number two, be filled with God's Spirit. And then number three, make a daily list of God's supply. A daily list of God's supply. Like I said before, we used to sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you all that God has done. And it isn't just thanking him for the good things that we have, like our families and our careers and finance and our homes. It's thanking him most of all for his plan of salvation. Did you know that the blood-bought throng of Christ will spend eternity giving thanks to the Father for his marvelous plan of salvation? That the Father, in his infinite love and care for us, sent a Savior. He's a missional God who cared enough to send the best that he had to redeem us for a life of eternal purpose and communion with him and with each other. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be better than anything we've ever experienced here. This doesn't even hold a candle to the greatness of God's program for you and me in heaven. It's going to be over the top, magnificent. Make a daily list of God's supply. So I want to encourage you practically, start to write the things down. Because what we do, like I said, when we hold that quarter to our eye, we can block out the sun. Make a list of all the good things that God has placed in your life, whether it's family, whether it's home, whether it's a car. You may say, well, I don't like my car. I'd like to get a new car. Be thankful that that car, that old car, gets you from point A to point B. You may say, well, I don't like our house. Our house is too small. We've grown so big. Thank him that that house provides shelter and warmth in the winter. And it's a place where you can grow your family. Thank him for the positive things. And I'll explain why in just a minute. So make that daily list of God's supply. And it isn't just what he's done for you, his mercy, his grace, his compassion. Thank him for the things that haven't come your way. Thank him that you still have your health. Thank him that you still have your mind and your thoughts. Thank him for the people of God who gather around you every Sunday and throughout the week as you have needs. We experience the loving kindness of Bill and Myrna. They brought over this fabulous Swiss steak dinner last night, and we ate. Bill said, there's enough here to feed two armies. There's enough here to feed two armies. Well, we have two huge guys, and my wife and myself, and one son hasn't eaten for 3 days, so when he saw that Swiss steak, he chowed it down. There's a little portion, a little remnant. We'll give it to Charles Dickens for that little waif who wanders on the street. Oh, master, any money for me? Well, we'll give him that little bowl of leftovers. It's not going to make it to him. I'm going to devour that when I get home. Yeah, we're very much alive and sustained, thanks to you. Number four, practice thanksgiving. And what I mean by this is, let thanksgiving dwell on your lips. Position it in your heart. Make it the theme of your life. Let thanksgiving become a daily practice. So that the moment that you open your mind and your heart, what's coming out is thanksgiving. We can be critical, negative, bitter people because of our circumstances. But practicing thanksgiving. Keep it on your lips. Allow it to dwell in your hearts. Make it the theme of your life. And then number five, anticipate God's faithfulness. Anticipate it. You're going through a hard time right now. And I'm going to give you some illustrations that show you're not always going to be here. God is going to bring you through. And he's going to make a way where there is no way. God is going to provide for you in some phenomenal ways. But we need to trust him. He knows what you need. The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Anticipate God's faithfulness. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything. What are you anxious about this morning? What is it? Is it family issues? Is it marital issues? Is it health issues? What is it that you're anxious about? The scripture says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. What it's saying is, sprinkle liberally the password of thanksgiving into every prayer. Because if you just focus on your need, on your need, on your need, then what happens is you become weighted down with negativity and a sense of impoverishment. But begin to thank God that he has a plan in the midst of your circumstances, and that he, through his sovereign will, is shaping you, growing you, molding you, making you into the person he wants you to be. It says, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And then what does it say? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to have that peace? That's the hospitality that we said. When you go into his gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise, all of a sudden that peace, that supernatural divine peace, begins to permeate your life. And man, when the penny drops, when the idea clicks, when the truth begins to resonate in your heart and you start to feel this incredible confidence, hey, God really is in control of my life. That's an exciting moment. And you've moved into a whole new spiritual relationship with God the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, gratitude requires cultivation. Number three, gratitude completes our lives. Think about how many incomplete people there are. People that are negative and bitter and complaining. They're unhappy about their circumstances. I remember the story of a lady who was sporadically attending a Baptist church. It was G.W. Criswell, Dr. Criswell. He was pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas for 35 years. And I remember him telling a story. It was about his first pastor, and there was this lady that lived on the edge of town in this old shack of a house. And she was one of the most negative, bitter, complaining people that he'd ever met. And somebody at the church said, you know what you should do? You should go out and visit that lady. She used to come to the church at one time, but we haven't seen her in months and months and months. He says, well, I'll do that. He goes out there and he talks to her. And she had written a poem. She says, Pastor, I got to read you a poem. And it was all about how she hated Oklahoma. Went through all the things. And it rhymed. The beautiful rhyming patterns. Iambic pentameter. It was lovely, with a little couplet on the end about how much she hates Oklahoma. He thought, how sad. But he loved on her. He said, look, this is the love of God. This is his plan for your life. But she was so embittered, she had no time for his message. Her own children had nothing to do with her. Any friends that she had long ago departed. And here was this miserable old woman living alone by herself, inundated with her own negativity. Well, that woman came to die. And Dr. Criswell, at this point, his eyes began to tear up. He says, you know, it was the saddest thing. He says, I went to do the funeral service for her, and there wasn't one single person that came to see her off. It was just me and her in that chapel. And then he leaned over the pulpit and he said, folks, listen, ingratitude has no friends. Ingratitude has no friends. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says that we are living in what was known as the secular age. And it says in this age, people will be ungrateful. One of the hallmarks of today's generation is a lack of gratitude. Gratitude completes our lives. Luke 17, 15 through 19, this is the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He passes between Samaria and Galilee. And as he's passing, 10 lepers from a distance begin to cry out to him. And they go, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. The rumors had been circulating about how Jesus had wonderfully, marvelously been healing people. And these lepers somehow had heard the news of this healer named Jesus. And when they saw him, their hearts lifted perhaps for the first time in months or years. Why was leprosy such a devastating disease? Like today, the C word, cancer, is a devastating disease. And cancer can cause you to suffer, and the treatments for cancer are awful. But the thing about cancer is it doesn't restrict you from contact with your husband or your wife or from your children or from society in general. In that day and age, if you had leprosy, you were cut off from your family, from your community, from friends and neighbors. No one would have anything to do with you. You couldn't find employment. You couldn't find a place to live. You were just persona non grata, and you were cast out into the desert, basically to die. And leprosy wasn't a discerner of whether you were rich or whether you were poor. Leprosy could attack anybody in any station of life. It was one of the most devastating diseases. Not only did it cause you to be a social pariah, but it was disfiguring, and it was painful, and completely debilitating, and they would lose their fingers and their toes, and it was like their flesh was just rotting off of them. It's a horrible, horrible disease. And they cried out to Jesus. They said, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. And what did Jesus do? He replied to them. He said, hey, gentlemen, please go show yourself to the priest. If you read back in Leviticus 13, there was a special religious ceremonial formula for how you dealt with leprosy. If you thought you had leprosy, you had to go and show yourself to the high priest. The high priest would make a diagnosis, and then he would offer a prescription for treatment. But if it was leprosy, ultimately you knew that that would be the end of your life and the end of any contact with your loved ones and any association with your former life. Devastating. But if you were healed of leprosy, you had to go back to speak to the high priest. And then the high priest would give you it was like the Department of Health, he would give you your certificate that declares that you're free of the disease, and now you could go back to your loved ones, back to your community, and assume your normal life. So what did Jesus do? He told them exactly what Leviticus said. Go present yourself to the high priest. And as they turned and walked away, they were healed. They were healed. And so often you hear this particular portion of Scripture preached as that only one was grateful. Only one came back to say thank you. Now, that's not true. Imagine if you were racked with a devastating disease. Even Adolf Hitler would be grateful if he was healed of leprosy. They were all grateful, but only one came back to express his gratitude. You see, that's the difference. That's a huge difference, and I want you to take that with you this morning. You can be grateful for all the things that you have and that you've received. It's the expression of that gratitude that is the point of obedience. It's expressing gratitude that brings the miracle. You see, one man came back and he expressed his gratitude. Now, it says that he was a Samaritan, a foreigner, in the text. So the other 9 were probably Jews because they were quick to head off to the priest. And you can imagine they were in a hurry. They were healed. They wanted to get back to their loved ones. They hadn't seen them for how many months or years? You can understand the motivation that they had to get back to their normal life, to express loves to their loved ones. So they headed for the priest to get their health certificate verified. But one Samaritan who was not a Jew, he turns around and comes back and expresses gratitude. How about you? Are you grateful? You could say, yes, I am. Do you express that gratitude? Because that's a point of obedience. That's when the miracle happens. That man came back. And what did Jesus say? Hey, 10 of you were healed. Where are the other 9? It wasn't that those others weren't grateful. They just didn't express their gratitude. This man expressed his gratitude. And what did Jesus say? He said, your faith has made you whole. I want you to notice the difference. You can have a healing and not be made whole. Isn't that amazing? You can have your skin clarified, purified, and healed, and not be made whole. See, there's a difference between a healing and wholeness. There's a difference between healing and wholeness. Because when wholeness comes, it fixes things deep inside that we didn't even know were broken. And see, we can be fixated on getting a healing when God wants to do something much deeper in our lives. He wants to make you whole. And what is wholeness? Is that place where you begin to commune with the Father through genuine faith and commitment to the person of Jesus Christ, and you have all that you need in Him. He fills you from the inside out. Your soul is filled to overflowing with His love and His peace and His joy. You see, but many of us are content to settle for the healing, willing to bypass wholeness. This man came back. And he went on his way glorifying the Lord. Wasn't just focused on the fact that his body was healed. He experienced such a great healing in his heart and his soul. Gratitude completes our lives. In Luke 5:24, we see another example. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said to the man who was paralyzed, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Immediately he rose up, went home, glorifying and thanking God. Gratitude completes our lives. Fourthly, gratitude multiplies our ability to help others. Matthew 14, verses 15 through 17. You remember this story, the feeding of the 5,000? That was just the men. There was women and children. The disciples came to Jesus at the end of the day. He'd been busy ministering and healing people. And the disciples said to Jesus, listen, this is a desolate place. And it's nighttime. The day's now over. Send the crowds away to go and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. He said, you give them something to eat. Does Jesus ever say that to you when somebody's hurting or somebody has a need? Does Jesus ever say to you, you go give them something to eat? We were on the receiving end of that last night. It meant so much because someone was obedient to the voice of God and they blessed us. And you've been blessed similarly by people in this congregation. Isn't it true that often we want to turn to other resources quickly? Well, we can't deal with that. We need to just send out. Send them away. Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And perhaps he was saying, if you had enough faith, God would supply the needs of these hungry people. But I also believe that what Jesus was saying is, listen, I want you to understand, you've made a declaration that there isn't enough food here for us to eat. So what you're about to see is a genuine miracle of God. So he's defining the miracle by asking them to give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Little boy's lunch. How are you going to feed maybe 15, 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? See, what God wants to know is that he is the God of multiplication. Whatever it is that you feel a lack in your life, you may say, I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough resources. And we can focus on our lack. But Jesus is the God of multiplication. And he will supply you with all that you need, not that you can hoard it to yourself, but that you can give it away and bless others. Gratitude multiplies our ability to help others. This is number four again. Remember the story of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 9, where here's Jonah in the belly of a great fish. Not the whale. It's a great fish. And it's completely dark in there. And it's foul smelling. And the stomach acids of the whale are beginning to bleach his skin. He's being digested alive. Talk about despair. Imagine being in complete darkness. You see, the problem was is that Jonah had created this problem himself through his disobedience. He was thrown off the ship. God was saying, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel, save all these evil pagans. And Jonah says, I won't do it. And he gets thrown overboard, swallowed by the great fish. And what does he say? He says, I will offer a sacrifice of praise with a voice of thanksgiving. He begins to offer thanks. Oh, it's wonderful. And that great fish takes him to a shore, vomits him out. He goes to the people of Nineveh, preaches the gospel, divinely anointed. Thousands of people repent of their sin and come to faith. See, that's the password, thanksgiving. Delivers you from the dark depths and puts your feet on dry land. And number five, gratitude sets us free from bondage. Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. They're in prison. And they were in prison because they delivered a girl who had a demon. And they were proclaiming the gospel. And they got thrown in jail for doing what was right. Imagine, we feel that was unfair, wouldn't we? And we'd complain bitterly. I'm just trying to serve God, and all of a sudden, here I am in dire straits. But God had a plan. He was making a way where there was no way. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing? They were exercising the password of thanksgiving, thanking Him for His goodness. When there was nothing else to thank Him for, they said, let's focus on how good our God is. And they were overwhelmed. They had more than enough thanks to go around. And the prisoners were listening to them. Can you imagine how they were being blessed in their dire straits, listening to the praises of these two men of God? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, the doors flew open, and the chains fell off. The text says that the jailer came running in, and he was about to plunge a sword through his heart, because as a Roman guard, he would have been publicly humiliated and executed for allowing his prisoners to escape. His life was hanging in the balance. And he was about to slay himself when Paul shouts out and says, hey, listen, we're all here. Come on in and join the party. He was so touched by the power of praise and lives that were thankful. He said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And this guard actually took Paul and Silas out of the prison. He says, look, you're coming with me. I'm going to take you home. I want to introduce you to my wife and kids. Imagine. And they bathed Paul and Silas and put ointment on their wounds and fed them. And they shared the gospel of Christ. What did they say? If you will put your faith in Jesus, you and all your household will be saved. The entire household. The entire family was saved. And then he escorted them before morning back to the jail. They kind of put the broken shackles back on their hands and pretended like, oh yeah, we're prisoners. It's okay. And then they were released. Amazing. Amazing. The doors flew open and the chains fell off. So here's the point. The point is that the password of thanksgiving, it opens prison doors. It looses the shackles. It makes you whole. It feeds the multitudes. That's why thanksgiving is important for you and me. Gratitude makes all the difference. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude requires cultivation. Gratitude completes our lives. Gratitude multiplies our ministry. And gratitude sets us free. Can you say amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together. It's wonderful for us to spend time in your word and to be refreshed by it, to be challenged by it. And Father, thank you for these precious people. We love them dearly, and we are so grateful for them. Thank you for Bill, who's out in the kitchen right now preparing food for us to eat, and all of the wonderful goodies, the Dad's root beer and cookies that have been prepared for the men here as they go. And Father, we would just invite all our men, if there's ample there, to take a sample, to take one of those bags, recognizing that they may not be a biological father, but they are a spiritual dad to others with whom they have contact. Thank you, Father, for being with us, and we glorify you today in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.